Hello and welcome to Trade TV, a bumper Friday edition. We only have, 5 days left until the end of this interminable trade period. I'm joined by two blokes who desperately need a razor. We've got Littlest Hobo here, and we've got the caddy from Happy Gilmore. Any chance you blokes have? What do you think? Was that a good beard joke or not?
That was your big moment in the spotlight. Yeah. The rose between two thorns, and I thought you totally botched it as host. You stepped up to the plate, and that's what you delivered the mass. You had all that time to prepare.
Yeah, 15 minutes of anticipation.
I was doing this show 1 minute ago. Boys, at least you're bringing something to the table because your beards are ordinary. Where do we start? Well, let's start with the most recent story, which is Tom Scully.
I'll tell you where we start with, Ralphie. Yep. Hawthorne. Yep. Silence, and then bang, bang. Yep. And they have gone bang, bang in a massive, massive way.
Mm-hmm.
You know about it, Tommy Scully. Yep. They're trying to get in. Chad Wingard's nominated them. They're not mucking around either. They're willing to part with one of their, well, probably what would be the pillar of their back line, one of them, for the next decade, and Ryan Burton.
Well, James Sicily's the pillar, so he's the second pillar there.
Well, there's lots of pillars in a if there's a pier going out into the water, there's lots of them.
Happy Gilmore's caddy wants to talk. Okay. What do you think, Sammy?
Well, so if they get Scully and Wingard through the door, what else goes out? Because it can't just be Ryan Burton. What draft picks have to go out? Will any other players be involved? I think you told us, Sammy, that a couple of players have gone over to get mentally checked out by Port Adelaide.
Kieran Lovell's one, and Tim O'Brien is the other one. South now, whether Australian. They were contingencies, or they're going to form part of these deals for Wingard, or whether they're involved in Scully, whether there's future picks involved, swapper picks, that's all to play out. But the main point is that they're moving heaven and earth to get Tom Scully in, and Chad Wingard as well.
2 years ago, they brought in Tom Mitchell and Jago Ramirez. Didn't have to move a player. What's different now? Why suddenly one of their rising stars on the move?
Well, I think they don't have the picks to use now, do they? I mean, that pick 15 is their first pick, then the next pick's late 30s, I think, relatively.
35,
well.
Yeah.
And so Port Adelaide have been, and rightly so, been pretty upfront about what they want. He won't come cheap, Chad Wingard, and rightly so. And then you look at GWS, and for all their salary cap issues, I wouldn't be letting Tom Scully go for a packet of chips either.
Tom Scully. So the understanding is that he has family issues in Melbourne. Now, he's a partner. I think it's Gavin Robertson, the Australian offspring's daughter. That's not involved. So there's something in a roundabout way. It's not, you know, that just someone is homesick and wants to get home. There is something that is dragging him home. He was an outstanding player the last 2 years, played every game in the last 2 years until he had the syndesmosis. Is there any way you'd be letting him go?
Oh, I think there's a bit of frustration from the Scully camp over how he was treated this year. Maybe he came back a little bit too early and he went bust again. Didn't play after round two this year. I don't think he was too happy with how 2018 panned out. If the Giants lose him, Lobb, Setterfield, Shield, their premiership window is slamming shut.
Yeah. So is this a player wanting out, do we understand? And no, he does want to come home, don't get me wrong, but that can't be the sole driving factor. How real is this? Surely the salary cap issues don't extend this far.
No, yeah, exactly. I spoke to GWS an hour ago. Look, Lobb was on 900. Setterfield maybe 400. Shield was on, 750 to 9. So that's over $2 million of cap space you've already cleared. So this one is not about the cap space. It's just about the fact he's desperate to get home.
And he already took the hit from the massive deal that he got up there as well.
So he's the hardest runner in football. Yeah. You're right. The window, if it's not slammed shut, it's an inch wide. So would you guys do the deal on Ryan Burton? Because, Sam, you had a great stat for us last year that the last 10 seasons, very few picks, high picks at Hawthorn.
So Hawthorn's used two top 20 picks in the past decade, and they are Isaac Smith and Ryan Burton, and they're at the back end of the 20, no top 15
both 19,
picks.
Yeah.
So they don't need to use top end picks, but they've had five top 30 picks in 10 years, only two have been wins, and they are Smith and Burton, and they're going to pump one of them. So that is staggering, but it just shows you they are happy to pump their early picks and find gold late in the draft. And they've done that with James Warple and Harry Morrison and these types recently, but it is just the Hawthorn way. We just go and find our players from other clubs.
So, okay, let's go through it. So they got 15, they got 35, they've got a future pick from next year.
Yeah.
If they were able to get in Scarlet, you know, say they go at 15 and Burton, For Wingard, and then they gave up their future first rounder for Scully. Would they do that? There's no way they can get Scully for 35.
No, I've got no complaints with that.
Oh, 15 and Burton seems overs for Wingard, and a future first for Scully seems unders. I think those two transactions would have to balance out a little bit.
Yeah, but if that's what you give away and the net gain is those two players, but Wingard's a superstar. Maybe he's been played out of position. Two All-Australians at 25.
Yeah.
He can kick goals. He can win the contested ball.
Best and fairest winner too.
Yeah, all that. Oh, no, I mean, if you get those two players in, it's sort of like Dylan Shiel, isn't it? Mm. Just get them in, and whatever you pay for them, it's almost worth it.
Is there a bit of disarming on both sides? So clearly Port Adelaide very happy to move Chad Wingard on. You know, does he work hard enough at training, whatnot? With Burton, the fact that his name has come up so swiftly, surely that shows you that Hawthorn isn't completely satisfied with what he's put out there, maybe this year or going forward.
He had an ordinary year, which absolutely is understandable for a second-year player. But in that first year, even though the knee complaint was simmering in the background, intercept marks, tagging bounces through the middle, kicking long goals, are any of you guys thinking to yourself he's not the player we thought he was? Because for me, I'm thinking he still looks like a superstar.
He took a bit of a hit this year, but I'm really bullish on him. I think he could be, as I say, a pillar rolling in the back line for the next decade. But you're right, he had a few physical problems as well. Maybe the confidence took a bit of a hit in the body this year. But geez, at 21, you back yourself to rebound, don't you?
Shows you too, the Clarko loves the pressure game. Get the ball in there, lock it in. And, you know, the Cyril Rioli replacement.
And don't put any small... They're so desperate to land a big fish. Obviously, they miss Shiel. They miss Tommy Lynch. When the power say to you, we're only dealing with Wingo too if Burton's involved, it's going to be pretty hard for them to say no.
Hipster King wants to chat.
Top three in this draft here, Ryan Burton, before that broken leg. So he is always had the talent.
Got to move on, boys. Yeah. See, if you have a child, you got a boy, haven't you?
Two.
Is he likely to be 196 plus?
Not a chance. Look at me, John.
We'll turn him into a ruckman because Braden Pruce has left for Melbourne. North Melbourne thinks it's a 4-year deal. Hasn't officially been confirmed.
Four.
But a bloke who's played, what, 8 games of football?
I did not play this year.
Didn't play this year. And the swap is, I think, with pick 60 going back, but Dom Tyson gets to North Melbourne. Dom Tyson is a... ordinary kick, is it fair to say?
Yeah.
But everything else about him is pretty substantial. You've got to think this is a win for North Melbourne.
This is what happened. So Tyson was linked with North Melbourne weeks ago. North Melbourne said, not on your life would we consider swapping him for Pruce, and we're not even interested in the player in the first place. Mm-hmm. Then they miss out on Gaff at the death when a lot of people there thought they were going to get him. That changed absolutely everything. They went for Tyson. The straight swap was, and as you say, for a bloke who's played 8 games, and you're going to get back a midfielder who played 17 this year for Melbourne, played every final, and for all his flaws, is a seasoned player and a proven player, that's a no-brainer from a North perspective.
Sammy's got a little nugget of goodness here.
But to play devil's advocate, Andrew Gaff is an outside player. Dom Tyson is inside.
Yeah, they're different players.
So why do you miss out on Gaff and change your player type?
Because you also get Aaron Hall. And so we put on the Supercoach.
And Pidard and Poley. I think they've got enough outside guys. Okay. And they wanted midfield depth.
Yeah.
So they get this guy in to complement Cunnington as well, perhaps.
Yeah.
And look, maybe Melbourne have seen something here with the ruck rules that you spoke about today a lot in the Herald Sun, the change to the ruck rule. The fact that the prior opportunity now, they can grab it out of, I don't know, maybe Melbourne have had a shift. Maybe looking at West Coast and what they did this final series with the two double bangers, maybe they're thinking, at the very least, they get him in as insurance to see how the year goes.
So speaking of insurance, Zach Clark is one that's on North Melbourne's radar, maybe as a pre-season pick. They've got a couple of young kids there, apparently. I don't know who it is, but they've got some young talls, but basically what they feel like.
Go ahead, Dr.
Sam. I was just going to say, Casey Demons are very, very happy, and that's about it, surely.
Well, we'll see what happens.
So we like what North Melbourne's done. They'll get Hall for almost nothing because Gold Coast have already got some really high picks. They don't really want, you know, they might do a pick swap or something. You get Pollock in. Who else do you get in? You get Pittard in, who we know is, you know, capable.
Yeah.
Luke Davis, Uniacke. Yeah. Uniacke? How do we say his name?
Uniacke.
He hasn't played long enough for us to know. Are we worried about him? He didn't play a lot of senior footy.
Nah, not 12 months in. Pick four last year. A lot of clubs had him pick one last year, and that really even top end. No alarm bells.
So you bring into that midfield, LDU, Pittard is halfback, Pollock, Hall. You know, you're going places, aren't you?
Now, look, the Saints got a bit of a bad rap for Dan Hanbury. That was made official today. But, gee, it's a good deal from the Saints' perspective, I would have thought. They get Hanbury and pick 28 back from the Swans, and they give up pick 38 and a future second round.
It's hickey for Hanbury.
It is.
And they moved their second rounder from next year to this year.
And I spoke to them this morning, and they said, was it pick 22 or whatever it is next year? They say we finish fifth last or seventh last. By the time the priority picks come in, by the time the compensation picks come in, it's effectively 28 for 28. So that's got to be a good deal, doesn't it? As you say, hickey for Hanbury.
Hickey for Hanbury is a win for the Saints. And that's what they were trying to orchestrate from the start of the week. And now they get a second round pick this year instead of next year.
Yep.
So instead of going pick 4 then pick 60, they've got one in between now. So they'll be very happy.
Who's going to win out of this deal? Don't sit on the fence. Hanbury or the Swans next year?
Hanbury.
Swans get the salary cap space. If they can use that, maybe the Swans. But right now, the Saints, surely.
Saints have got heaps of cap space, so they've given up very little. I can't find anyone to give this money to, so I think Securita will still win from that deal.
Now, Dean Kent goes for effectively nothing. Oh. He's wanted to get out for some
pick
time.
65, is that
pick
right?
Pick 65. Yeah. They got they had to give up.
Gets a three-year deal, gets opportunity. Benny Nile, another guy, a manager who gets his player
I like it.
To the right I place like with opportunity and cash. Like that a lot. What else has to go down? So the Lachie Neale situation. So he met with Peter Bell, I think it was yesterday, might have been the day before.
You're all over
What
this.
Did he tell him, John?
He basically... Someone said to me that he basically said, well, Peter Bell, what did Peter Bell say? I'm going to, you know, feather in my cap if I can get him to stay. But the story to go around was that he said, well, I know the Boots don't know more than I know Peter Bell. How's Peter Bell going to convince me he wants to leave this football club? No, not to say that he's less or more important, but just that he's a new football boss. I've made a decision. He can sweet talk me all I want, but I want to go. He's getting upset, as any person in this situation would be. Look, a lot of people from Fremantle would say Lachie Neale's a star. And so, look, I understand if they want to get more from Brisbane Lions over that. But you can't lowball Melbourne at the same time and say, we'll offer up 11 and 23, but we want overs for this bloke. So maybe at some stage, Brisbane has to say, maybe he is worth more than just pick five.
He's a free agent next year. You can't be giving up too much more than pick five for Lachie Neale when you can get him for free in 12 months' time.
Yeah. So he said, I don't want to play there. He's upset. The camp's upset. Jesse Hogan's camp is upset with Steve Rosich and Peter Bell because they seem to be... I think all of us would feel like Jesse Hogan, even if he's got some issues and all, whatever it might be, simmering in the surface, he's worth more than 11 in the second round, isn't
That's
he?
Just the early Amber claim, surely. Yeah. And what happens there? I was told there might be some movement at the station today here from the Fremantle perspective, so let's see what happens. Surely the offer is an improved one. And the other one, the most bizarre story of the whole exchange period continues to be Dane Deems.
Yeah.
What? Still no trade request officially tabled. Will there ever be one?
Just a bowl of Campbell's, mate. It's just reheated soup.
And will Mel? Will
that was a great line from Swanee.
And will And will the Brisbane Lions actually go back on their word as so many clubs have done in the past? They couldn't be more categorical, but we've seen it before.
The simmering tension between Fremantle and Brisbane is one of the stories of the week this week.
So the Dockers
explain it to us. You put it on Superfooty yesterday. Basically, that Brisbane feel like Freo is the one pushing this river. Yeah,
correct. To try and get a second first-round pick into the Lions camp, which they can then deal with a Freo for Lachie Neale.
Okay, so we all understand that Brisbane won't trade him for pick 18. What would Brisbane trade him for, given we know he's probably going at some stage, and we know, like, this story hasn't moved on, but, okay, what would you trade Dan Beams for?
Brisbane want players, don't they? Well, they're about to rise up the ladder. Yeah. Why would they get rid of arguably their best midfielder and a bloke that was captain 3 months ago?
So is there any situation where Brisbane would trade him this year?
Couldn't say it.
Sammy?
I agree, but as I say, we've seen it before. Things can change in half an hour.
It's similar to when Beams wanted to go to Brisbane.
Yeah.
Colin was saying, not on our life.
Not when you give up so much, which they did. I reckon Greg Swan and David Noble. Isn't David Noble impressive, by the way?
Yeah.
Came into Fagan, and all of those guys.
Just genuine people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I listened to Chris Fagan yesterday, I just believe him.
And I think too, I mean, what their situation would be, go and get Lachie Neale. We should be a really good side next year. Yeah. And then you convince him to stay on because, you know, whereas if you let him go now, you probably aren't that good side. It's sort of chicken and egg. Yeah. Anything else we need to get? Al, a couple of questions for Hobo and the caddy. How has the Shield deal been done today, guys? It's all Essendon is doing well to play their cards close to their chest. Yeah. I spoke to GWS. They said, it's something he'll get done. What's he worth?
It'll be picks, won't it?
Has it be Essendon's
pick
first
nine
pick?
From Essendon.
Has to be,
and then surely if they give up their... Pardon me, their first round from next year and they get GWS's back or something, you know, along those lines.
There'll be a shuffle. I think everyone thinks there'll be a shuffle, but surely that first pick for Essendon is involved.
Pick nine, it'll just be picks one. There'll be no players involved there. Surely.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Will Hawthorne let Wingard go and get him for less next year?
No.
I don't think so.
No, because I can't see Wingard going back to Port Adelaide now. I think that ship has sailed, it's become too toxic, he's gone.
Deal to get done.
Tim Kelly, any situation there? I actually need to...
You're the man here?
No, well, I'm clearly Fremantle. We're trying to do something. Fremantle are interested. Fremantle don't mind if they hijack that deal. But if you've got to give up picks for, you know, multiple players, including Rory Lobb, you've got to get that deal done. I just don't see what pick there is.
Well, can West Coast package up their two picks in the 20s, I think? Because they got one back for Lycett as well.
Yeah,
20
and
22.
And give that to their neighbours Fremantle, pick 11. Would that satisfy Geelong?
So do they need pick 11 for maybe Lobb or maybe Hogan?
That's an option though. That,
but yeah, it's a club around it. Who else has got those picks? So Sydney, that pick's already moved on now to Adelaide.
Hmm.
Adelaide don't want 20 and 22. They just
might need points as well.
Yeah, no,
maybe.
Well, that's
20 and 22 is not quite as much as pick 11. So you're conceding points if you give up
here. So what could West Coast possibly offer up there? Yes, at 20-20, we just talked about that. Shout up, John. Scully Setterfield to the Blues for future first rounder. We'll move on from that.
Yep.
Essendon 9 and first
just,
next year.
Just with the Blues, though, obviously Setterfield's still to play out. Just wonder, he's not in their age bracket that they've stated there, the Blues, but if they are monitoring the Scully situation.
Oh, when I moved on, I thought you were going to drop that little nugget, but you're clearly going
to
know.
I think we need to give people what they want to know.
I think Al's just found himself a promo, as I can see him just writing down those details.
He goes to the pen quick, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, that little big biro.
Just thinking out loud.
I was going to do a robo there and just switch the camera around there, but I didn't want to go renegade there, don't worry about that. You guys hearing much on Richmond, at Scully in Richmond. GWS say no.
No cap room.
How is that possible? Please. If that happened,
they all want to come to us, baby.
An inquiry.
They've had to heavily back in Tom Lynch's deal just to get him through the door. They're not getting Tom's gun. Sorry, Al.
What's Sauce up to? Yeah, there you go. Hogan's always wanted to play there. So I think we've sort of covered most of it. Does anyone feel like the Shield deal won't get done?
No. Nope. Lock.
Does anyone feel like Lachie Neale won't find his way to Brisbane?
Nope.
Certainly.
Hogan won't find his way there?
Nope.
So the only thing with Gold Coast is that clearly they're happy to trade May for pick 5. They just want it to be done in a timely fashion so then they can go and get themselves someone like Jack Hompsch. Is that his name?
Jack Hompsch.
Yeah, so it's not that they won't trade him. They just don't want to get down at 8.25 on...
Is that Tom Langdon?
Don't know.
Somewhere halfway up Mount Kilimanjaro.
There's no point saying I believe. Again, as we said yesterday, if you don't know, you just don't know.
You don't. What we know is fact is that Sydney won him, and he's done the tour up there. He's done the medical up there.
Tanzania, isn't he now with Brother Ed?
Yeah, I think.
So what you do listen to though is his manager saying he really really wants to play at Collingwood. So I keep coming back to that to think if Freo and Sydney can push the offer up. You know, imagine if Ned Guy lost to Langdon, who took 16 contested marks in, 16 intercept marks, more than anyone else in the final series. So my gut feel is that they'll increase his offer, he'll stay. It's trade break, who knows though.
Yeah. They do have Schoenberg and Dunn coming back.
Yeah, late in the season though.
Yeah, potentially.
So who knows, and the other thing as well, is will May at some stage say, no, I want to go to Collingwood?
Mm. Yeah. May and Beams for mine are the two great unknowns left. I think the other jigsaw pieces will all fall into place. Those two, though, I've got to say, we might go all the way through to the death and they might stay put, they might move. It's fascinating for me, those two.
That's it. We are done. Tom Scully to the Blues. I can see the headlines now. They'll be on the Super Footy blog in about 10 minutes. And these two are both off to have a shave.